Our theme for the sermon today is the Palm Sunday crowds. There's something about a crowd that draws us in. We slow down when we see one. We wonder, what's going on? We want to be part of it, or at least close enough to see, to find out. A crowd creates energy. It shapes emotion. It sort of pulls us along. And that is exactly what we see in our gospel for today. A crowd, actually several crowds, gathered around Jesus as he entered into Jerusalem. Palm branches waving, voices shouting, expectations rising. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. But if you look closely, this is not just one unified crowd. It's a mixture, different groups, different motivations, different levels of understanding. And the question that presses itself upon us this morning is not simply, what were they doing? But rather, where do we fit in? Because the truth is, we are in that crowd. John gives us a helpful window into what is happening. There are those who had come for the feast, the pilgrims. There are those who had witnessed the raising of Lazarus, the eyewitnesses. There are those who heard about it and came to see, the curious. And then there are the Pharisees, the resistant, even hostile. All of them were there. All of them were responding to Jesus, but not all in the same way. And neither do we. First, there was a crowd that came because it was the right thing to do. These are the pilgrims. They are in Jerusalem because it is the Passover. This is what faithful people do. They go to the feast. You make the journey. You participate. And when they hear that Jesus is coming, they join in. They take branches. They shout. They sing. They participate in the moment. There's something very familiar about that, because this is often where we begin. We are here because it's Sunday, because it's Palm Sunday, because this is what Christians do. We gather, we sing, we follow the liturgy, we join the procession. And it's not a bad thing. In fact, it is a very good thing. Faith often takes shape in habits, in rhythms, in simply being where Christ has promised to be. But there is also danger here, because it's possible to be in the crowd and not really understand what is happening, to shout Hosanna without fully knowing what kind of king we are welcoming, to go through the motions while expecting Jesus to fit into our plans. That is the first crowd. Then there's the second group, the eyewitnesses. These are the ones who have seen Lazarus come out of the tomb. They had stood there. They had heard Jesus call his name. They had watched death give way to life. And now they can't stop talking about it. They are telling everyone, you have to see this man. You have to see what he has done. Their presence explains why the crowd is gathering, why the crowd is growing, why the excitement is building, why people are coming to meet Jesus. Because when you have seen what Jesus does, when you have seen him bring life out of death, you cannot keep quiet. And this, too, is where many of you fit. You have seen what Christ has done, not in Bethany, but in your own lives. You have seen sins forgiven. You have seen guilt lifted. You have seen prayers answered. You have seen hope restored. You have seen in very real ways that Jesus brings life where there was once only death. And so you gather not just out of habit, but out of conviction, out of experience, out of a faith that says, I know who he is, and I know what he has done. That is a deeper place to stand in the crowd. But even here, there is still something incomplete. Because even those who saw Lazarus raised did not yet understand where this road was leading. They saw power, but they did not yet see the cross. They saw glory, but they did not yet see the suffering that would define it. And then there's the third group, the curious. These are the ones that heard about the miracle. They had not seen it themselves, but the story itself was enough to draw them out. Who is this? What is going on? Could this really be true? So they came to investigate, to see for themselves. And we should not overlook them because they remind us that faith often begins with curiosity. There are people even now who are on the edges of the crowd, watching, listening, not yet fully convinced, but drawn in. And perhaps at times this has been you. Moments when you're not entirely sure. Moments when faith feels more like a question than a confession. Moments when you are here, but still wondering. And yet, here you are. Because even curiosity can be the beginning of something deeper. The Lord uses even that to draw people to himself. But then, finally, there is another voice in the crowd, the Pharisees. They said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." They are not celebrating. They are not curious. They are not rejoicing. They are threatened because Jesus doesn't fit into their expectations. He doesn't affirm their control. He doesn't play by their rules, and so instead of joining the crowd, they stand apart from it, watching, criticizing, resisting. And we shouldn't be too quick to distance ourselves from them because there's a part of us that resists Jesus also, a part that wants control, a part that wants a different kind of king, a part that is uncomfortable where all this is leading. Because here's the truth that ties all of these crowds together. None of them fully understood what kind of king was riding into Jerusalem. They saw a king, but many expected a conqueror. They saw power, but expected political victory. They shouted Hosanna, but did not yet grasp the salvation that would come through suffering. And that is why Palm Sunday is both joyful and unsettling. Because the same crowd that shouts Hosanna will, before the week is even over, cry out, "Crucify him." The same voices that praise will turn. Because when Jesus does not meet their expectations, when he refuses to be the king that they want, they reject him. And that is where this gospel turns from being a story about them to a mirror for us. Because we too can turn. We too can shift. We praise when things are going well. We trust when life makes sense. We follow when Jesus seems to be leading us where we want to go. But when the path leads to suffering, when disobedience costs us something, when Jesus does not meet our expectations, we struggle. We hesitate. We pull back. And yet, here is the heart of the gospel. Jesus doesn't turn back. He knows exactly what kind of crowd surrounds him. He knows their misunderstandings. He knows their shifting loyalties. He knows the cross is coming. And still, he rides on. Not on a war horse, but on a donkey. Not to take a throne, but to bear a cross. Not to defeat Rome, but to defeat sin, death, and the devil. He comes as a different kind of king. A king who saves not by power, but by sacrifice. A king who reigns not by force, but by giving himself. A king whose greatest glory is found not in the cheers of the crowd, but in the silence of a tomb and its empty defeat. And that changes everything. Because it means that your place in the crowd, wherever it may be, is not what determines the outcome. Christ's faithfulness does. Whether you come out of habit, or out of deep faith, or out of curiosity, or even with doubts and resistance, he still comes for you. He still rides into Jerusalem for you. He still goes to the cross for you. And there at the cross, all of the confusion of the crowd is answered. There we finally see what kind of king he is. Not the kind of king that we would have chosen, but exactly the kind of king that we need. And so the question remains, but now it is sharply focused. Where do you stand? Are you simply going along with the crowd, or are you bearing witness to what Christ has done? Are you still searching, still wondering? Are you resisting what he has called you to trust? Wherever you find yourself, hear this, the king has come for you. He has come to forgive your shifting loyalties. He has called you out of death into life, to give you a place not just in the crowd, but in his kingdom. And that kingdom is not built on palm branches and passing praise. It is built on the cross, a cross where your sins are carried, a cross where your salvation is accomplished, a cross where your king is truly crowned. So today we join the crowd. We take up the song, but we sing it now with clearer eyes and fuller hearts. Hosanna, save us, Lord. And we know this, he has. Amen.